May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Our gospel today is a story that has been capturing the imagination of Christians for hundreds, thousands of years. The angel Gabriel appearing to Mary is a favorite subject of artists. It is the inspiration for all sorts of music. There's even been movies that incorporate the angel appearing to Mary. Y'all remember the Nativity story? It wouldn't be the same without an angel turning up. We love this passage, and every time I read it in a Bible study, everybody immediately wants to think about what could it have been like to be in Mary's shoes. She's young, she's engaged, she hasn't yet been wed, and an angel turns up and says, "Hey Mary, you're going to get pregnant." And we spend a lot of time thinking about what we would have done in Mary's place. And most of us are not certain that our response would have been, "Here I am, Lord, let it be as you said." But as I've been watching, thinking about this, and looking at all these wonderful pictures, which, by the way, Mary is always depicted as very pious in most of them, as very, you know, in awe of the angel. Her hands always held like this. I don't know. I kind of think I'd be more like going like this. Except for one painting that a friend of mine shared this week, in which Mary is depicted as a modern teenager wearing a short skirt and red heels, and she's slumping in her chair and spinning her hair on a finger, and the angel's in front of her, she's kind of looking at her going, "What do you want?" I think that Mary might be closer to the teenager that we're seeing in Scripture. Because when we look at this story and we ask, what did Mary say yes to? We discover that Mary didn't simply say yes to raising a beautiful baby or being a good mother. Mary tells us in her own words what she said yes to. She said yes to the Almighty who has done great things for me. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Mary's saying yes to the revolution. Mary is saying yes, not simply having her own life turned upside down, but to having the whole world turned upside down. It's probably helpful to remember that Mary lives in a place and a time where all the people around her are barely eking out a living, while she sees the rich and powerful always getting the best and never having to worry. Every time the rich and powerful need a little more money, they come to those poor people eking out a living and say, "You all need more money." So Mary hears the angel's words that this son's kingdom will have no end. And she knows that we're not talking about her son will be one of those rich and powerful people, because he's going to be the Son of God. And God is going to turn everything upside down. Because if she's the favored one, this little poor girl out in the backwater of Nazareth, if she's the most favored lady, then the God of the Bible is true. The God who's constantly choosing seven sons and barren women for his purposes is working in the world, and that kingdom will not be just like the kingdom she lives in. It will be a kingdom where all those who have been trampled down will be lifted up. And all those who have a lot will end up some beatific vision of motherhood. It is turning the whole world upside down. I'm not even sure why they let us read the story in church sometimes. Because that's not always something the church has been really good at, saying yes to turning the whole world upside down. If you read the history of the church, you'll discover that pretty early on, an emperor came along and said, hey, I'll make this the official religion of the empire. We just have to figure out and make sure it's something that's nice and tidy, and then we put everything in place, and then it upholds the social order, because that's what I want. And pretty much ever since, an awful lot of our time and energy has gone to upholding the social order. We're Episcopalians. We like things to be done properly and in order. Thank you very much. And the truth is, for most of us, this gospel, Mary's vision, is and should be a little bit terrifying. Because what God is promising to do is take all the places where we are comfortable and satisfied and send us out to turn the world upside down. He is not talking about how we will get the school committee to get rid of sports practices on Sunday morning. He's talking about how he will send us out to change the injustices that so many people in our world face. It is the homeless who have no place to go tonight that will be lifted up. It is those who attend soup kitchens because they cannot afford food who will be filled. It is those of us who have all of those things who will be challenged in this new kingdom and this new place. James Cone, who is a black liberation theologian, writes that the gospel is good news for the oppressed and bad news for the oppressor. And he's right. If we think that good news is that we get to keep what we have, that the nice and orderly societies we have put together can be left in place, that all of our social structures are just fine if we just tweak them a little bit, then the good news that Mary can see of all those social structures being torn down and those who have never had access to them being lifted up and given power is very bad news. Except that it isn't. Because what we miss is that in God's kingdom, there are not haves and have-nots. There is enough for everyone. There is abundance. More than a few people have noted that there is enough food in the world right now to feed every single person on this planet. That there is no reason anyone should go hungry tonight. Because there is enough for all. We just don't make sure everybody has equal access to it. So if Mary is right, and God is getting ready to do a new thing, then we get to share in that abundance too. There's enough there for us, but things are going to be turned upside down. Things that we have been quite happy with and content with are going to get messed up. Driving north on 495 this week, I saw a car, one of those minivans that transport students, that had a bumper sticker saying, "Safety is my goal." This is really appropriate for a car transporting students. But we should be careful not to put that on the front doors of our churches. Because safety is not our goal. Security is not what we are saying yes to. On Christmas Eve, we welcome the beginning of a renewal of the world that turns all of the expectations upside down. A child born in a stable to a young woman of no status or power, whose birth is heralded to shepherds in the fields and strangers in a faraway land. a Son of God whose kingdom will never end, and who will feed those who have been hungry. Welcome those who have been unwelcome. Raise up those who have been powerless. And if that has an impact on our neat and tidy and organized world, that's okay with God. Because God's kingdom is a different kind of vision of power and wealth and possibility. It is one where those who are hungry are filled, and those who have held on to things too tightly and not shared go away hungry, because they will not share. Mary said yes. And in saying yes, that's the beginning of the whole Christian story. It's the beginning of everything we believe. But Mary didn't just say yes so that we could all feel better about ourselves, so we could be good people and not have to struggle. Mary said yes to a world that would be very, very different. Mary said yes to overturning everything. What are we being invited to say yes to in this place and time? What are the challenges God is sending into your life? Where are you worried about others? Where do you think something needs to change? And you are being invited to say, yes, I will be part of trying to change it. Because once upon a time, there was a baby born in a stable who died on a cross and was raised from the dead and is coming again. And on that day, everything will be turned upside down, and I want to be one of the people who are filled. What is God asking you to say yes to? Amen.